Blog Talk Radio.
Monster X Radio. It's Labor Day weekend, September 1st, 2013. Hope everyone's having a good weekend. And with me tonight, as usual, is Shane, researcher out of Oregon. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing not too bad. Had a long and interesting weekend, but glad to be here.
Nice. And tonight we're going to be joined by some of the members of the Kreider Exploration Group out of New Mexico. They study Bigfoot and other paranormal activities. And we're going to be calling Jesus Jr. first. And then throughout the evening we're going to be getting a hold of other members of the group as well.
yeah, some of them are in remote places. I know Joshua's in Arizona in an area where they're having some sort of storm, so his reception might not be all that great, but he's going to do his best to join us tonight and give us a lowdown of what Crider Exploration group's all about. And I think go ahead and give Jesus Jr. a call and see if we can get a hold of him and get this show rolling.
Hello?
Hello, Jesus Jr.
This is Jesus Jr.
Howdy, man. How you doing? This is Shane Corson with the Monster X Radio.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Oh, not much, man. Really glad you could join us. I hope maybe to get one or two other members to join us a bit later. But, how are things on your end? Really wanted to have you guys on the show because a lot of people are not aware of you and your organization
right.
And what you guys are all about. But I've personally followed you guys for a while now, and really fascinated with some of you guys' findings and your research, especially in New Mexico, which is another just a place where a lot of people are not aware that there is Bigfoot activity out there.
Right. A lot of the United States don't even realize it's in the United States,
Exactly.
I've invited people to come down here, and they're like, am I going to need my passport? And I'm like, what? It's in the United States. Come on, you're killing me. Yeah, so it's definitely an even smaller number of people that even realize how much cryptid activity we have up here.
Yeah. So,
down here.
Yeah. Do you want to just give us a little breakdown of how the group got started and what got you involved?
Okay. Well, first we got to determine which group you're speaking of.
Well, we can touch up on both of them. This show mainly deals with cryptids, but
right.
I'd love to hear about both.
Right. Well, me as a researcher, the way I do my research is I spend time with as many different research groups as possible, and I study them, and I study their techniques and what is being successful, what that they're doing, so I can implement, a whole new type and vision of Bigfoot hunting. By learning from everybody, because everybody's so tight with their evidence and what they do and how they do it, and it's a secret and blah blah blah. You know what I mean? It's like we're trying to figure this out. That's the whole idea, is to prove this creature exists, and people are getting caught in the Kardashian esque drama, that's in the Bigfoot world that I found out exists. Oh my lord!
Absolutely.
But yes. So there's people don't understand that the majority of all these researchers, they all do have some good evidence, and then a lot of them have a bunch of, people make up stuff, and some people get carried away. But if you just, pay attention to what evidence is there and not do the whole, hey, that stuff's hokey, and just really look at what's going on, and the common, factor is that there is a very large hominid creature that's covered in hair that exists out there somewhere, just from the evidence that has been collected, so it's not a question in my mind that it exists or it doesn't exist, period. It's out there. We just have not, attained the permission from, our government and scientific daddies out there to say, yes, it is real, and everybody can go, yay, what I mean? It's like, it's just, come on, it's history, period. Regardless if they say yes or no, it's history. We're researching it. We're making the history. We're writing down what's going on with this creature, and that's what's going to be remembered. Not that people think we're crazy or anything like that. So
right.
When I met Josh and Robert Crider and their team, the KX expedition team, exploration team, I went out with them hunting in Madrid, New Mexico. And, yeah, like I said, every different group has a whole different angle at going, you know, for research.
Yeah.
And these guys were very, how should I say, they were the extreme Bigfoot hunters. You know what I mean? As in, like, they didn't mess around. They didn't stop them to go crashing, you know, going through, crawling on all fours through the forest. And, you know, it was, like, really, really thick, like, foliage there. And, they just went at it, man. They had some really, really cool technologies. And, you know, they did a lot of stuff that some other ones didn't do that I thought was really cool. And we got a lot of evidence that, you know, that one expedition. And, yeah, it's just amazing the audio recordings we have from that. It's some pretty neat stuff.
How long have you been involved with them?
It hasn't been for years, but... within the last year, I'd say. And because, like, up until, I'd say about last year, everything that I studied was just out of pure curiosity research, not intending to, publish anything. But I eventually started working with so many different people and learned so much that it became, I was like, you know what? Everybody knows me as the big scary dude on the movies and TV shows, you know, and, Like, what the heck? They'll know that I'm a big old nerd, too. You know, come on. Man. I love this, you know, what we're doing. I'm scientific. You know, I like to teach. I give lectures. And, you know, I can't just be that guy, you know. So this is my passion. And, I just the study of another hominid, you know, being, you know, existing that, you know, has been, you know, like, hidden throughout history, you know, our history books. And but in everybody else's histories around the world, the ancient, you know, histories, this creature has existed in everybody's histories, you know? So it's like, yeah, what is it? You know, we say, no, that's not real. Does that discount all these different cultures, you know, written histories that they're calling myth, you know?
Yeah. So how much research, I mean, when you look up like BFRO reports, I think Johnny pointed out to me that, I think Johnny pointed out to me that there was only like 40 reports on their side, of course. I'm sure you guys have more, but what part of New Mexico, as far as Bigfoot's concerned, do you guys concentrate on?
Well, from what I know with the Crider Exploration Team, they concentrate over in the, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Madrid, you know, that quadrant of New Mexico. I live in the by the Lincoln County National Forest, and we have a lot of activity over here. It's by the Apache Mescalero Res. And then we have Brenda's team, which is the Shadow Seekers, and they concentrate in northern New Mexico on the Navajo Reservation right outside of Farmington, New Mexico.
Okay. And you guys have access to some of these reservations?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I do. I'm friends with a lot, many nations of the, you know, out in the United States. So I'm 80% Mayan Indian myself.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys probably get a lot of stories and in history from some of those nations. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
A lot of that stuff's not shared with the general public. I know a lot of the Native Americans, they don't like talking about it, and they don't want strangers coming in, checking out their, you know, trespassing and whatnot.
Right. Well, like, a few things, like, the stories are that some of the tribes, they coexisted with this creature and even traded with them. They were considered a tribe themselves. But there was other, you know, nations out there that did not get along with this creature. This creature was deemed evil, and it was used like a nighttime scary bedtime story, like, don't go in the forest at nighttime, it's going to get you, you know. And they were really one, they'd have to scare the kids because the kids would be stolen, you know, and getting eaten, you know. And some of them were known to eat people, and were, you know, cannibalistic. And so a lot of times, a lot of the different tribes would leave offerings at the edge of the forest. and hope that this would appease their appetite so they wouldn't come into their camps and, you know, steal people food for food, you know, their children. And some like the in the Mayan culture, we have stories of this creature existing in our forests. In Sumerian times, this creature was called the Enkidu, and was actually created by the gods to do their work. But they were unruly and caused lots of problems and would challenge the gods constantly. And they were so big and strong themselves that they were actually, you know, like challenging the gods, you know, quote unquote gods. And eventually got banished into the forests, around the world, never to, you know, come out again or be killed. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, when I think of New Mexico, I picture like this desert kind of area, but you guys actually have a lot of mountains and forests as well, huh?
Yeah, it's a trip. You think New Mexico, you think tumbleweeds and, you know, gunfights and stuff, you know, shootouts and the cowboy days. But no, we actually have a forest here, the Lincoln County National Forest, where Billy the Kid, you know, had all his fun, and we had the regulators, and that's where Smokey the Bear came from. You know, that's where that fire happened. The little bear crawled up the top of that tree. And then you've got the Albuquerque Mountain, you know, range up there, Edgewood. And then when you go farther up north, then you really start hitting, you know, mountains. And you get up to the Taos area, Angel Fire. And, yeah, we got quite a bit of a forest out there. But right now, it's everything's on fire, you know. So a lot of the, because of these fires, they've pushed these Bigfoots towards the towns, you know. And there was a report. Yeah, there was a report of one of the helicopter pilots that was following the fire, was watching all the animals flee out of the forest. They're all together running out, you know, all the elk and deers and bears and all kinds of, you know, I'm just hauling butt. And they said that, of course, they won't go on record, but they said that they saw like four Sasquatch running with all the other animals out of the forest, you know.
Wow.
Pretty. Yeah. Imagine that sight from above. Wow. That must have been
so
true.
Where are those fires?
Wow.
What part of the state are they in? In New Mexico?
Well, from that story, this was the Cree fire. That was up there, right there in Rio Doso, Alto area.
Okay. I'm looking at the BFRO map, and it seems like you guys have a lot of sightings in that northwest corner, San Juan County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of reports from the reservation, the Apache Mescalero Reservation as well. Mm-hmm. And then we had also Downs. My sister's an officer. She's an officer there. And my mother works for the Forest Department. So when they get calls of people, you know, saying, there's a Bigfoot in my yard, or there's some big strange guy standing in my backyard, you know, send somebody out to look, you know, the police, but they can't do much more than that. There's nothing there, you know. They can't report, we're looking for a Bigfoot, you know. They don't do that. So they let me know. They're like, hey, we had another call in this area, and they tell me, and then I go and, you know, do my own little snooping around and investigation. And we had one Apache woman. She called 911, and she was upset because she was walking down this road into a little valley where there's a Walgreens, and behind the Walgreens, it's like right facing this valley of forest and whatnot, and she saw two Bigfoots, or Sasquatch, whichever you prefer, rooting through the dumpsters, you know, and scared the bejesus out of her, and she wouldn't move. She got on her cell phone and called, and they had to pick her up. And she said, I'm not going past that no more. You have to give me a ride. I am not walking. She was upset, man.
Wild
stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, that brings up a good point. I was going to ask you, you know, since they're forging through dumpsters and stuff, they're obviously opportunistic. What kind of What kind of natural resources are in New Mexico? I mean, is there enough to sustain a population of Sasquatch? Water.
Depending on, you know, when I first started researching, I was under the impression that he was a herbivore. But then later, you know, I realized after, you know, so much, you know, different stories and evidences of them eating meat and, you know, being elk kills and deer kills, and, you know, many, many different animals on farms. Now I believe he's an omnivore. So between the piñones, which when there's droughts, you know, the pine trees don't help at all. You know, but there is a lot of animals out there. There is a huge amount of wild boar also in our forest. And, like, it's a problem. You know, it's like open season on boar right now, you know. So you got an endless amount of bacon running around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, you eat meat. And there's, you know, we have big, large herds of elk, even though we just had 100 elk just fall over dead here in, you know, New Mexico recently. Just a whole herd just went, you know, nobody knows what's wrong, what happened. That's kind of weird. But, yeah, that's real strange. But, yeah, so it's like, yeah, I believe that there is definitely enough food to sustain a small group of, you know, different little groups of, you know, families of Bigfoots, which I think that's, you know, how they do live in little communities.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious about the water source out there. You know, is there a lot of rivers and lakes in those particular areas?
Yeah, they definitely have access to water. We have natural springs, too. And, we have, like, about three or four lakes right there just in the Lincoln County area, you know. And, yeah, there's lots of ways they can survive, definitely. You know, a lot of people, you know, they shy away from different, you know, views on how they live, you know, like them building shelters versus living in caves versus, you know, I think it's a little bit of everything, you know. I don't think there's just a one specific, you know, just like us as humans, these creatures seem quite intelligent, and they obviously can, you know, use thought. So if they have a situation where, like, there's a nice cave somewhere just chilling, you know, I'd say, hey, I'm going to use that as my crib. You know, if there's, you know, there isn't a cave, then they will build something. You know what I mean? So I think they're opportunistic, for, you know, most definitely, you know, opportunistic in that sense.
Yeah, just like I was reading in our chat room, Damian Bravo's with us, and he you know, he said Bigfoot will eat whatever they can get their hands on, and I pretty much agree with that.
Right.
Yeah, very opportunistic.
Right. And right now, I'm going to be my conference I'm throwing, my first, you know, Bigfoot conference. And I think I got some, you know, really cool speakers, and it's going to be attending it. And now that I'm, you know, working with William Allen Barnes on the Falcon Project, I'm really, you know, stoked about that. You know, working with all those, you know, great people and researchers, and oh man, I'm excited about that. That's such a cool endeavor.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you guys. I've met William Barnes before, and when he came up to Portland, and I've talked with him a few times. Oh, yeah, great guy. Big you know, he's got huge ambitions, plan, and whatnot, but really great guy. And I know he'd probably love to come down your way once he gets this Falcon Project up and going and funded. He's going to definitely be down in New Mexico.
Oh, I hope so. I can show him where to go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so we're gonna do the actual thing, and we're gonna make a movie as well on the actual project, and that's where I come in, and I'm gonna be helping raise the funds for the project itself, you know, and everything that they're doing, and you know, put the movie out. So it's gonna be a historic, a ridiculously historic situation. What's you know happening with that project?
Yeah, I mean this will be the first annual, I guess, Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference held down there. And like you said, you got some fantastic speakers. You know, I was looking at the list. You know, you got Scott Nelson, you know, Jeffrey Teagle.
Right.
So got some awesome speakers. So I want to help you guys promote that because I think a lot of people can learn.
I just added it to my Bigfoot research blog, so we'll definitely help get the word out.
Scared me, bud. I was like, where did that just come from? Oh, my Lord, I'm hearing voices. You know?
So with the, you know, can you talk about some of the evidence you guys have collected, some of what you found. I've followed, like I said, the Kreider hominid research group for a while, and I've looked into it. I really find some of the findings, you know, pretty compelling. Can you talk about any of the evidence and you guys have collected?
Josh?
Pardon?
Josh, you're there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Josh, could you tell him some of the evidence that you guys have collected?
Oh, I'm sorry, he's not here yet. But you know what? Let me try giving him a call now. That was Johnny.
All right. Oh, Johnny, my bad. I didn't know who that voice was. That was Josh, my bad.
Oh, no, that's all right. Get a hold of him. I wasn't sure if he was going to call in. So try. He said he might not get reception.
Okay. Well, I do know what a lot of evidence that they found. I just thought that was Josh on there. I was like, "Why, Josh? You go ahead and speak." You know. Oh boy.
Are you guys all in New Mexico then? Your whole group?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that's your focal area. Do you guys go outside of that at all?
I go outside. I'm not sure about the other groups. You know, Brenda, the Shadowseekers, they do the Four Corners area, and they're expanding. I'm working with them too. It broadens me. Like, if I'm trying to network us, you know, not all these different groups. I'm trying to network each other and create one large giant, you know, force, you know, that can communicate correctly. And if I have to be that middle person to share, you know, with everybody, be like, come on, we can do this together, all right, you know, then I'm going to try to do that, you know, and that's why, like, you know, all the different things I do, you know, I throw many different conferences, not just Bigfoot, I throw UFO, I throw paranormal, I throw, you know what I mean, and I'm trying to show everybody that all these different worlds actually coincide, you know, and they do, it's when you discount one whole different realm, you're cheating yourself on this realm because you maybe that's the puzzle part piece you're missing from it, you know?
Gotcha.
Interesting,
the evidence, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The evidence that the Kreider has?
Yeah.
The TX team, that I've seen, you know, myself, is footprints. He has a ginormous 19-inch footprint. And he has large, what looks like stone tools. They look like giant versions of normal size ones that are, you know, found in digs, you know, from the Native Americans. But these ones are made for really large hands. And I got some big hands, and my hands look little holding these things. And, they found, a scat, you know, hair samples. Hello? Okay, so you guys can hear me, I take it. Correct. All right, let's see. That was weird. Try dialing back our guest. I don't know what's going on. This thing is just the first real problem we've had, it seems, with this Blog Talk Radio. So sorry, folks. I don't know. I'm going to try giving Jesus Jr. a call back, but I'm not hearing much on my end.
hang on and be patient, that'd be much appreciated. I don't know where Johnny's at. Yeah, it's not letting me call out or take any calls. So, for now, let's see here. Wow, my phones are lighting up. And I can't even answer them.
Okay, I'm in. Are you in?
I'm in. What happened?
I don't know, but it shows two of me in the host chat. They cut me off, and then they sent me a message saying they're closed for Labor Day. But
yeah.
I had to recall in under the guest number, not the host number.
Okay. Do you want to, let me see here.
I'm not going to touch anything. It shows I'm in there twice, so I'll just leave it.
Okay. It's not letting me call Jesus back. We lost him as well. It's really odd.
We can't lose Jesus.
No. Cannot lose Jesus.
Okay.
Well,
let's disconnect him first, and then see if we can
try calling him back.
All right, but you're 503, right?
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna.
I sent you the number. If you could try calling him back.
Oh no, I'll try. I just shut him out.
Okay. Anyways, well, current events. I just actually yesterday interviewed a witness that actually lives in Vancouver, Washington, that is, I met her and her husband. She's a 59-year-old hiker, does a lot of hiking in the Skookum area, but she happened to go to Mount Hood to a very lake that I am very interested in and had encounters out there in the Mount Hood. I saw her report. And I was blown away because she described everything that I've heard from other people in the same area. This spot is just an absolute amazing spot right now, and it's a hotbed of activity. I've been trying to organize a group of fellow researchers to come out and do some remote camping out there in various areas that I have picked out around two different lakes. So that is in the works. She didn't have a sighting, but she was with her 35-year-old son, and she heard something clanking. First of all, they were in their tent around 7:30 in the evening and had heavy bipedal footsteps approaching them from about 60 feet away that came within about 30 feet. Real heavy, she said, and her son. They both heard it coming and knew it was a large animal. So then after that, you know, they tried to pass it off. You know, they've been around bear, and there's bear in that area. They've been around elk, and there's a lot of elk in that area too. One of the things she did point out to me was that there was no signs of life or animals out there. Usually, you know, when you go out to this area, there's scat and can see footprints and tracks of different animals. There was none of this, and I told her that was a good sign because anytime I've gone out there and had activity, there's no sign of wildlife, you know, kind of like that, you know, apex predator in the area, and the animals just don't want to be around. I think Johnny, I can finish my story later. Johnny, if you want to take that call.
All right, yeah, let's see who it is here.
Yeah.
928. You're live.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, this is Josh.
Oh, Josh. we lost Jesus a little while ago. He just fell off. If he can call back in, we can take his call. But it's not letting me dial out Johnny or John, so you're going to have to...
Okay, send me a message and I'll call him.
Okay, glad to have you on, Josh. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing, brother?
Not too bad. We just had a few kinks here apparently with the with our blog radio show. Kind of dropped me off and my co-host Johnny and Lost Jesus, and I can't seem to get him back. So, but anyways,
yeah. People have been trying to do that for thousands of years now.
yeah, so we were basically talking about some of the evidence that you guys have found out in, you know, while out there in New Mexico, and he was kind of touching up on that, but he was hoping you would join us so you could give us more details on some of the evidence. But first, if you want to tell us a little bit about your position in, you know, the Kreider Exploration Group, or more, I guess, the Hominid Research Group, be more specific, and, you know, a little bit of history on that.
Yeah, well, I joined the KX crew back in 2010.
Okay.
And I joined them because of a Egypt expedition that was going to be going on. And well, I've worked in film for 13 years now, so that's kind of how I got in, was just going to film everything, but I've been into all this information my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was even more of an awesome awakening to meet Rob and everybody and be able to participate in all these cool projects. But, you know, as much as I'm into all the conspiracy and real history and all that good stuff, you know, Bigfoot was one that I was always just like, well, you know, I don't know, man, never seen him.
Uh-huh.
But Rob took me out, and now I've gone out a hell of a lot. And seen some amazing things, been touched for sure. I was actually pretty surprised myself to know that this creature exists here in New Mexico. So it's been amazing to see how Rob works. I mean, obviously, if you pay attention to him, you know that he's done a lot of crazy shit. Excuse my French.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's done some crazy stuff. The guy's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, man. This is a guy that we've all watched these movies about, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the real Indiana Jones, you know.
He's the real deal.
Oh, the real deal, for sure. It's amazing.
And I think that's what you have to do to have success, is think outside of the box and do crazy stuff, because other stuff just doesn't seem to be working.
Well, I have to say, just my own personal opinion, you know, and I don't mean to hurt anybody by it, but there's just a big part of the Bigfoot community. You know, I see that a lot of folks have this as kind of their backdoor hobby, you know, or, you know, some people have been doing it for 20, 30 years and whatnot. But getting into all this other information really helps to understand who and what Bigfoot is, you know, and how they've survived and what's kind of going on behind the scenes that the majority of the Bigfoot community doesn't really focus on, you know. Maybe they're not aware of it. There's definitely some conscious awakening that has to go on to fully understand, you know, how all this is working out.
I gotcha. So you mind touching up on that a little bit? Are you talking more of a paranormal aspect to it, or
no,
something?
No, not even the paranormal. More
okay.
So just the history of man, to understand that man's been on this planet a long time, and you know, just to pick up a science book these days, or to go ask some credited, documented PhD in whatever field, there's just a lot of conditioning that's been going on, and a lot of real history and science that's left out of our textbooks. You know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. I know that to see these, you know, 600-pound rocks flipped over and to find hair and scat and to understand their feeding grounds and nurseries and how the family unit operates and travels and migrates and their abilities. I mean, these guys are the utopia of health, you know. They're everything that we wish we could be, because they're not surrounded by all the, you know, all the crap that we are.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, man. It's a paradigm shift in itself.
So speaking of like these family units and stuff, you know, I know you guys got a lot of really neat evidence, you know, between tracks, hair, scats, even evidence of them, you know, eating deer and whatnot. I mean, so do you think they're in New Mexico year-round, or do they travel?
You know, from what we've seen and just, you know, after kind of putting ourselves into their shoes, you know, I really believe that they migrate and do whatever the hell they want to do, you know. They travel around. They want to go see the Rockies. They go get their jog, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if they need to travel and pick up and leave, or, you know, they just do, and if they don't, they don't.
Absolutely. I mean, these guys operated just like all our Native American tribes operated on this continent, you know, before we got here. So
That's an interesting analogy.
They're doing the same thing, you know. And then in my own perspective.
Semi-nomadic.
Oh, yeah, very. And, you know, there's probably, as the families come around, I think they hang out in different areas a little longer. You know, they have their favorite feeding spots and chill spots and water spots. And, of course, we've noticed that they come into town a lot more, just like the bears, you know, and drink out of the horse troughs and the llama troughs and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an amazing tunnel system going on here in New Mexico. New Mexico is one of the most volcanic states in the U.S., and there's a lot of stuff going on underground. So I definitely think that they understand the cave systems, and they still utilize the old, you know, elder traditions, the stories, and, you know, all those sacred spots, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know. There's so many underground, you know, tunnels and caves in New Mexico. It's pretty crazy. One would think, regardless, that they would almost have to use those, even just for shelter, if you don't believe that they use them for travel. But that very well could be.
Absolutely. I mean, they're ninjas, you know, and we're their entertainment whenever we come around. And I think that these guys here have kind of gotten to know us. There's actually a pretty crazy story that happened back in February. We took a 3 or 4 day trip up into the mountains, you know, same thing, just getting way back there, you know, not off the trails and where nobody ever goes. And Rob actually lost his glasses, and we could not find them anywhere. Got back to the truck, nothing. And this was a year ago. This was a year ago July. Well, when we went up this last February, when we came back, we're all hanging out behind Rob's house. And I'm not kidding you. A friend of mine who's there photographing, taking pictures, looks down and finds these glasses. He's like, hey, are these anybody's? They were Rob's glasses. We lost them up in the mountains. And somehow they ended up behind his house, sitting on a rock all nice and perfect. And to be honest, Rob was almost in tears, like it was just magical or something, you know.
Wow.
Real crazy incident that happened pretty recently.
How big are you guys' groups when you go out?
I don't think we've really gone out bigger than four.
Okay.
Yeah. We try and keep it simple and quiet. You know, we try to keep, you know, low profile when we get out there, not out there screaming and hitting trees and, you know, just Rob can track anything, man. We follow in their footsteps and, you know, just following their trails and watching how they're out there doing their thing.
Nice. Yeah, well, let's see if we can get Jesus back on the phone here since we lost him.
Yeah.
Do you go out with Jesus then as well?
Yeah, Jesus has gone out with us a couple times. He's kind of all over the place. He's, you know, if you don't know, he's an actor, and he's out there doing his thing, playing on the Breaking Bad and a couple other shows.
I did not mention that earlier. A lot of people aren't aware of that, but
He's played in quite a bit of flicks, acting with Steven Seagal and. And
really?
It was a new Two Guns movie that just came out with Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He's been all over the state lately, teaming up with other crews as well, and just trying to bring everybody together, which is kind of what I think we're all doing right now. You know, where we're at these days in our society, it's a good time for everybody to start collaborating. You know, I know everybody wants to do their own thing, and everybody likes to make a buck because we all got bills to pay. But we'd really like to see people coming together and putting better effort towards this as one solid group.
Right.
You know, so that's the only way we're going to be able to protect these guys. You know, we're going to see the same thing happen that happened hundreds of thousands of years ago, you know.
I'm really, really stoked to hear you say that. I know Jesus said the same thing. You're right. You know, people got to stop, you know, hiding their evidence or, you know, start working together, collaborating. And, you know, that's the only way you know, this is going to work. It's not going to work with just a group here, a group there. It's all time to start collaborating and really sharing, you know, each other's evidences, their places of research, stuff like that. So I'm really glad you guys are taking that route.
Yeah, and of course, you know, right now, just in the paper the other day, here in New Mexico, there's some guys up in Jemez that are doing 4 or 5 hour tours, 5 hour tour through the Jemez Mountains, you know, and charging folks to come in and go on hikes. And you know, it's cool. It's a good way to teach everybody.
Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't go further than that, and that because and not just Bigfoot, but everything, our history. It's important for us to learn our history, and there's so much more to it, and Bigfoot's just a part of that. Everything is connected, and so that's why, you know, we're out here as well, working with all the different archaeologists around the world, the explorers, the elder groups, all the Aboriginal tribes, the Navajo, the Hopi, and really trying to, you know, make friends and bring everybody together. The egos have just got to go. Got to flush them down the toilet and tag team this, because if we don't do it right, if we don't do this correctly, it's going to be scrutinized and taken just in a whole other direction. And I really believe that the information that's going to be coming out this winter, January, February, give or take, it's going to be falsified again. They're going to twist all this information, and you know, we really need to get together and hit up all these private institutions that can do all the DNA testing. And you know, a lot of people want to say, you know, with what you have, why don't you just go get a peer review? Well, that just doesn't happen for everybody. You can't just go knock on the door and say, hey, you know, give me a peer review. Make this thing credible. It's not going to happen that way. There's a lot of profits in many different directions that go on with this business, not just Bigfoot, but knowledge, you know.
With the what you just mentioned a minute ago about the information coming out this winter, what specifically, for our viewing audience, were you referring to?
Well, we know that the Spike TV show is coming out, and I don't know how all that's going to go. And a lot of people don't know that we actually tried out for the show, and a couple of us actually made it. And because if you know the backstory, you guys know the backstory of what happened with the Spike TV show originally.
I know a little bit of it. I haven't really taken it too serious, but if you want to go ahead and fill in, that'd be awesome.
Well, these guys had the whole show all together. Everybody was hired. Everybody was doing their thing. And, you know, if you work in movie production, nothing happens overnight. It takes time. And they actually fired everybody. They canceled everything that they had put together, and they went up in hiatus, and then they came back to redo it all. And, you know, what they're saying is that they wanted the best. You know, they want the best explorers, the best zoologists, the best, you know, all these guys. And actually a couple of us made it, but not Rob. You know, we could have done it, but, you know, they're just probably going to twist it all up and make a joke of it. But they wanted the best, and we told them, you know, don't pick me, you know, put Rob on that show.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the best, then here's the best. And that didn't happen, so we backed away from all of it. Just figured we'll check it out on YouTube or something at some point.
Uh-huh.
But they're working now at the DNA study, because the DNA study was supposed to come out last October, November. then they push it back to March or April, and still nothing out of Oxford's come out. So I think I'm just putting a little prediction here, and I don't stand by predictions and prophecies, but I think that they're kind of doing something together, and they're going to come out with something, but what it's going to be, I couldn't tell you. We'll see. We definitely know that, you know, Texas A&M, for a long time, if you find any ancient technology, giant bones, Bigfoot bodies, I mean, they're right there to snag it up. So bodies have been found. These things have already been known about. Bigfoot used to be common knowledge. And we're all out there running around like chickens with their heads cut off when the information's really, it's round.
Yeah, no, I agree there's a lot of information out there that's not been kind of tucked away.
Well, it looks like Jesus is back. Here we go.
Hello, Jesus, you there?
Jesus.
Hey, Jesus, you with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right.
Sorry about that, man. I don't know. We don't really know what happened. I think the Men in Black had enough and shut down.
Yeah, we even got cut off.
Yeah.
Those guys, I tell you.
It was a full. And Joshua has joined us as well.
Right.
What's up, Jesus? How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? Enjoying the show. Enjoying the show.
Yeah, I'm actually up here in Taos, New Mexico right now at the highest altitude music festival in the world called Enchanted Circle. Great little music festival up the Ski Valley. Almost 11,000 feet. It's beautiful weather. Beautiful views. A little bit of rain here and there, but having a good old time.
Good deal.
I'm glad to have you both back with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Joshua, so you guys got anything? You know, I know you guys have this this conference coming up, the first annual Northern New Mexico Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference coming up. What role are you going to be playing with all that?
Oh man, I'm just trying to help my brother Jesus here, and you know, do some promotion, trying to find sponsorship, you know, talk to some people, just kind of get the word out there. Jesus doing a good job, Jesus and Brenda, and bringing everybody together. So I'm just doing whatever I can to help.
And you're greatly appreciated because, you know, we're trying to raise money, of course, so we can make sure that all our speakers and special guests are taken care of from the well and made it an enjoyable experience versus a story of, man, I'll never do that again. I've heard that way too many times happening at a lot of these conferences, you know.
Yeah, no, it happens. Happens a lot.
Right.
Joshua, so you guys got William Barnes involved as well, as Jesus was talking about earlier. What are your thoughts and feelings of that? Are you excited about that?
Yeah, man, I'm excited to actually be able to meet him in person and communicate with him. We talked pretty recently, and you know, we're all actually trying to do the same thing. We were actually hoping that the Falcon Project would have taken off, you know, and we've actually, because we've been working, Rob's actually working with some people and got some really nice drones and trying to put together the same kind of deal, and between all of us, we have a lot of great minds and electrical engineers and creators and artists, so we're hoping that we can work together, you know, once again, just collaborate, use each other's followings, and make something big happen.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you guys are definitely moving in the right direction. You know, I've followed you guys for a while now, and I'm really, really happy with some of you guys' findings and stuff. What do you guys think, as far as evidence that you've collected, what do you think is some of the most key pieces of evidence that you guys have in your possession or have come across?
Well, I mean, just, you know, all the hair has been really cool, and, you know, to be able to know the difference between, you know, different animal hair and just knowing that this is different, and actually the collections of scat that we found, everything from infant scat to the elder scat, and being able to you know, dig through it and see what they're eating. There's actually some things they're eating that we've tried that are actually pretty delicious. Of course, we went and got it fresh, you know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
I like the stone tools you got, the footprints you guys have, Josh, and yeah, of course you guys got, you know, the scat. You've got visual evidence, you know, footprints, and you know those stone tools I just think are great. And then you've got all the audio, tons of audio they have released. And from Brenda's side of the other team, we've got footprints, juvenile footprints, hair, blood, DNA sample. Recently, we just got actual footage of a Bigfoot crossing a small mountain, range, walking all the way across it. And yeah, so it's like the evidence is building up, on all sides of this, because there's so many people out there now looking and with cameras.
Yeah, there is so many trail cams. Do you think technology is going to be then what discovers the species?
Yes, and that's the whole purpose of the Falcon Project. We're going to be using the most high tech, technology there is available to use at such heights. That only military applications are usually, happening in that situation, and we have to have special permission to even fly such a piece of equipment, and we have to get it cleared with the federal government to make sure that we're not a bad guy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
I think the Falcon Project would work really well down there, too, because you guys don't have a lot of – do you guys have a lot of thick canopy or not?
Northern New Mexico gets a lot thicker.
Yeah, the bulk get like where I went gosh, over there, that's thick. You know what I mean? Holy crap, that's just like really, really thick. Then in my area, it's all pine trees. So you could see, look down, And at the same time, though, even though, they have FLIR, they'll have every different version of possible sight and thermal imaging that's available to us. So, we do have that situation. If the actual visual camera can't catch it, then we'll catch it on a different spectrum.
Okay. Yeah, and I know with Robert, I consider Robert like part Indiana Jones, part MacGyver.
Right.
The guy, he really does. What kind of equipment is being used right now that I guess a lot of researchers have? And then you guys also have, some stuff that I think is kind of outside the box. So you didn't mind describing some of that?
Josh, can I tell them about the parabolic dish?
Yeah.
Okay, so I get there for the first time with these guys, and they have all this really cool equipment, and they explained to me that they made it all. And I asked, how'd you make this one? And it was just, a riot because it was so simple. He made it out of a wok. He had several parabolic dishes, but this one was made out of a wok, the lid to a wok. And it worked phenomenally. The technology was sound, and they have there's really cool stuff, man. I really enjoyed working with them and, what Rob has to offer and everybody on the team had to offer, to the research for Bigfoot.
That's fantastic. I don't know, just some of the pictures and videos I've seen, I've just seen all sorts of stuff. Some of it, I'm not sure exactly what you guys use it for.
What is it?
Just some of the, some of the stuff I've seen off some of your YouTube videos. You guys have quite the menage of equipment. I think you guys used to have like a traveling, I think it was like a trailer that you guys built into like a little mini scientific lab almost.
The trailer, the Space Monkey is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And with all the jobs, Rob's done, backdoor stuff, really all the cool stuff. He's been able to acquire stuff through, old military stuff. And there's a labs here called Sandia Labs. And they have some of the most amazing technology in the world. That's, you know, DARPA's out of there and all these other groups. And this was actually built by them. It's got all kinds of cool tricks to it, but it's just a lot of the equipment is stuff that you can't even buy. I mean, it's
you gotta
know the right people to be able to acquire this kind of stuff, and to be able to know the makers of the equipment, I think is kind of a good advantage.
I really like that whole lab setup.
And Rob posted something a while ago in his Facebook group too of an audio recorder that I thought was really neat, you know, for an affordable price.
Oh, is this the new one that he got?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He posted it, and they were discussing it in his Facebook group for a while there. I thought it looked pretty neat. Handheld audio.
With Rob, it's like a 12-year-old kid when it comes to new toys, man. that guy goes out and finds the coolest stuff, you know, and some of it I don't even know how he finds. He just like crawls through rabbit holes and finds some of the cool stuff, but always learn something new. Yeah.
Hey Josh, when I went on with you guys that night, and we got all that audio, remember? And what really stood out to me when we were going through all the audio at 4 o'clock in the morning was the roaring, you know?
Oh yeah, that loud just roar.
Yeah, it was like they were going back and forth, you know, the whole like it really looked like a conversation happening and responses back and forth, and you know, I mean it was just like really just cool. And I never, you know, I've heard a few roars, you know, recorded of audio, but never had I heard that many, over a period of time, you know, over and over, going back and forth with different calls that they were making between, like, it seemed like 3 to 4 Sasquatches. Yeah,
I mean, everything echoes through these canyons so nice, just in the area that we, you know, most of the audio comes from. And honestly, there's so much audio, like, that I don't think any of us have even gone through. And,
right.
Being able to have the time to be able to get in front of the computer and actually go through all this and to pull out all the data and, I mean, Rob's got these fancy military computers where he can touch screens and he can pull data out of nowhere, man. I mean, like quantum leap, you know.
That's awesome.
So these roars, I mean, what are your opinion on them? You said there may be 3 or 4 individuals. Were they close together or spread out? What do you think is behind them?
Gone over and over in my head and listening to what, you know, audio I do have of it, not on me at the second, but I do have it somewhere, you know, put away. But because I'm waiting for Rob to release the full thing, I don't want to just be like, here, listen to this small clip, and then I don't have nothing else to release, you know. But
yeah.
What it sounded like to me, just I'm throwing it out there, I'm using my imagination, and I work in the acting field, and I read scripts all the time, so I recognize, you know, banter going back and forth, you know. But what it sounded like is one, we were inside their domicile. We were, you know, we set up the parabolic dish, you know, pointing in to where, you know, we were trekking through. And I unfortunately had the most horrible possible backpack on earth to take with you. And it would get caught every single bush and tree that I passed by. Because I'm a big guy as it is. So it was like adding a whole other backpack to this big old giant backpack. You know, it just was not, you know, conducive to the situation of silence. And so they knew we were there. Without question, they knew we were there. And, when we were audio, it sounded like the alpha male was not happy. And when it was really pissed off that we were there, and you would hear a roar, roar, right?
Yeah.
And then you would hear what sounded like females or males doing high-pitched, long calls. And then you would hear another male's voice, but it was more like a possible, like a much more mature, you know, a Sasquatch. So it sounded like, you know, the big one was mad. It would growl, it would roar. the old man would be like, calm down, and then you would hear the ladies telling them both to be quiet. I don't know. But it sounded it was went on for a long time, like repeatedly, not in the exact same order either, but it was like they were going back and forth, and calm down, they're only here for a while, they're leaving soon, you know?
Hmm.
And the big one sounded just really pissed off. And I can't wait till Rob does release that audio, because, you know, there's a small clip of it on one of his YouTube videos. And but yeah, that's real neat, and I just never heard on any audio that many roars in a row, you know, as a communication.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll need to dig that up and listen to that little piece. Do you know when is he gonna be releasing this at your convention, or?
I have no idea. Josh would know before I would.
I don't know if this one ever got put up or not. Like I said, I know I sat there with Rob for just hours on end listening to nothing, you know what I mean? And trying to really, I've heard something. I don't know if it's out there yet or not. So we'll see.
I'm sure they're ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure Rob will be putting together, you know, quite a bit of stuff to take to the conference, no doubt. So we'll all find out, you know, and then we have so many projects going on right now just to help develop the platform to be able to bring all this information to light and work with a lot of these groups around the planet. So, you know, it's all coming. It's all coming, brothers. We got to give it time and try and pull everything together, you know. So we'll see when everything comes out. I definitely don't want to make it sound like, you know, we're holding anything back, because by all means, We've got terabytes and terabytes of information that needs to be up online, but being able to find the help and the money and the time, it gets crazy, really crazy. We've been working, you know, just bringing KX to light now for 3 to 4 years, and it's not easy, man. It's not easy at all. And we just got back from contact in the desert out in Joshua Tree and got to meet, you know, one of these great explorers and archaeologists and UFOologists, and to be able to bring everybody's got such a tight schedule, you know, running all over the planet, giving lectures and conferences and exploration, and it's just not easy, man, especially when everybody's got a book but me.
Yeah.
I'm lucky in the job that I have, being an actor and doing what I do. I have a lot of in-between films and TV time, so I get to spend all my downtime doing all this, and for me, this is, you know, what I love. It's my passion. I mean, this is, I can't get enough of all this stuff. So I gotta keep on searching and keep on grinding. And like, I just made me and Brenda will put together a documentary, you know, about that area that she's in and all the evidence that they have. And yeah, we're gonna be showing the trailer for it at the conference.
Oh, awesome.
That's going to be real cool.
Hmm. Is there a type of season that you guys like to go squatching the most, or that's the most active?
You know,
there?
For me, I know during the summer I always can't wait for winter, but during the winter I'm like, I want some heat, so I like it all. You know, it definitely, I'd have to say that our packs are a lot lighter during the winter, because carrying all that water for days is just nuts.
Yeah, I like monsoon season, definitely. Just for the reason of there's so much water around that all the animals come out, you know, for the water. And then it also, you know, makes the ground soft, so it leaves way more chances of prints being found. Because, you know, and then, of course, like I said, I believe they migrate, you know, with the seasons and the way the food, you know, following animals and, you know, herds and stuff. So,
when is monsoon season? Is that in the summer then?
That would be more towards the, for me over here, it was early summer.
June to September, give or take.
Okay.
It's monsoon right now. We're getting all those crazy monsoon rains right now.
That's going on, So now's a really good time, and
New Mexico is very, very green right now.
Oh yeah. So like I said, there's animals out and about, and you know, they're available out there, and the food's plentiful for you know, all the animals to do what they do, you know, comfortably, not have to be always, you know, so in survival mode, you know, per se, on the extreme side.
Hmm.
Yes, Joshua, real quick, you had mentioned you were out in Josh Tree National Park, which is in California. I know that I used to do a lot of work out there. I transplanted a lot of Joshua trees back in the day in that park, and I find that fascinating. Was there an actual sighting out there? Is that why you were there?
No, I actually, crazy, I won a free ticket to the contact in the desert. And there was close to 800 people there, 700, 800 people.
Okay.
And, I actually won a ticket, so I wasn't really planning on going. I wanted to go just because it's always nice to be able to get all these guys in one place to be able to, you know, have an opportunity to communicate with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, a lot of these different people have, you know, have heard about KX, so it's nice to finally meet up, talk to a lot of people online. So,
did you actually
went out there. What's that?
I was going to say, yeah, did you actually go out to the actual park?
Yeah, there's a place called Joshua Tree Retreat Center that they had the conference.
Yeah, okay.
And Stephen Greer and all these different guys. And but we actually ended up being press, so we filmed, you know, all the workshops and did some interviews and things like that.
Very cool, because Joshua Tree National Park, I did a lot of work there. And while I was there, I got to talk to a lot of the rangers and whatnot. And I don't know if you heard of the Yucca Man that's mentioned out there.
No, not sure.
Yeah, that's equivalent. Some say it's a, you know, tail or whatnot, but there has been encounters inside and outside the park of, you know, the Yucca Man, which is basically described as like a Sasquatch out in that area. But it's a beautiful park with a lot of big, humongous boulders and Joshua trees and creosote bushes. And,
cool.
And surprisingly, too, there's ample water there. I never would have figured, but...
oh, yeah, there's a lot of aquifers around there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have family that lived in Yucca Valley growing up, so we used to go out there when I was a kid, but no, I never heard any stories like that. I do know that, you know, my ringtone is the Bigfoot Howl, so anytime that goes off, I'm like, what the hell, where are we at? What's going on? So, no.
Yeah. Very cool. So, have you guys taken, Jesus was touching up on this earlier, but, like, what other credible, I'd say, reports have you taken in recently? I know you guys had mentioned you filmed something on a ridgeline that you put with Bigfoot.
Yeah, that was Harmington by Brenda and Dave Oz. And, we've been having in the last 2 months, there's just been, over 10 reports of Sasquatch in people's yards, crossing, you know, running across the fields. There's been several photos taken. And I'm putting that video now that she has. She has it uploaded on her page. I'm gonna try to post it right now on your page.
Oh,
you
excellent.
Can see. Yeah.
Nice.
Give me a second. I'm working on all that stuff.
What's
all
the
right.
best medium to access you guys' research and videos and whatnot? I mean, I know you have the Facebook Crider Exploration page, but is there other sites you guys work on as well?
Right now, that's pretty much it. KX had a big website that got taken down, and it had so much information in it, and pictures, and it's one that had been up for many, many years. So it got shut down, and so now we're actually trying to find the time and all the time to be able to build another site. We do have kxtruth.com, which, I'm still not done putting that together. It just always seems like I'm too busy, but... Yeah, pretty much Facebook is about it at the moment, and YouTube.
Okay.
But like I said, we're in the works on all that stuff right now, so it's just slowly happening. Every time we think we're getting a little closer, we got something else occupying our time, so just have to put it aside.
Yeah, because you guys don't just deal with hominids. I mean, you guys are an exploration group.
Absolutely.
Just like I have a Facebook group called Paranormal 2013, and that's where I put all my research and my findings, working with all these different groups and all the different stuff that I research. You know, ghosts, spirits, Bigfoots, the chupacabras, alien abductions, UFOs, ancient alien theory. You know, the list goes on. So yeah, I'm putting together on my website, you know, the JesusPionJr.com. That website eventually I'm going to launch publicly, and it'll have all the research compiled that I've done with everybody, and hopefully they won't mind me sharing their findings.
Oh, excellent! I mean, with you guys getting reports and encounters and stuff like that. What other, you guys got any other cryptids, like the Chupacabra, or any other cryptid reports that are interesting?
That's all you, Jesus.
Okay, the Chupacabra thing, there is also on the same reservation. There's quite a few different things happening on this reservation, and there has been sheep kills, you know, groups of 20 of them, and they all missing blood. Only have a puncture wound on their necks. Sometimes they're lacerated, but there's no blood coming out of the wound. You know, there's been quite a few cases of those strange killings happening, and then finding three-toed footprints. You know, three-toed clawed footprints. And so they have that. They've had sightings of, believe it or not, pterodactyls, which they have been seeing out there. And of course, they've had quite a few juvenile reports of Sasquatch, you know. And from all the different sightings that I've heard of, the Sasquatch in that area are tall but slender. They're not the what we associate with the North American big football player looking Sasquatch that we have video of, like Patty. But yeah.
That's really awesome.
There was this one case where there was a Sasquatch who ran across a field and tried to run up the side of the mesa, you know, scamper up, with feet and hands. And that this was an old lady saw this happen, one of the elders on the reservation. And it apparently lost its footing and caused a rock slide. And a giant boulder landed on top of the Bigfoot and killed it. And so eventually the city had sent out their workers to clear the rock slide because it was blocking the irrigation, ditch that they have there. So while they were removing these rocks, eventually they see a giant hand fall out from, a giant boulder. And when they removed the boulder, there was a squished Sasquatch. And they called the state police to come get it, and the state police called somebody else, and they came and took it and said, "Don't tell nobody."
Wow.
Huh. Interesting. You know, speaking of videos, that 1995 footage that Robert has,
right,
of what appears to be a Sasquatch up on that mountain or ridge there, that thing looks enormous.
Right.
That's not a
right.
Skinny one.
Yeah. that video. He was actually on a different job, looking for some lost treasure, ancient mine or something. And he just happened to come across him. So that was kind of an accident thing. They just got some video, took it off. But at the time, he was actually using an experimental camera or something that Sony had or whoever it was. And so it was actually top grade at the time for personal cameras. And as well, he was working for a company where he was having to bring all the data out of video and photographs, and so he had, CIA level equipment that he was actually, which is what that video goes through of him pulling out all the data, you know. But that's actually a great video. I mean, if you know what you're looking at, it's a great video. You can see his eye sockets and his abs and his fingers. And I think we actually have some other pictures that don't actually show up that well on that video. We actually have pictures of that probably should put up.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird looking, though, the figure. You know, I mean, it's very stoic, and it's obviously trying to, like, not move. I mean, it does, you know, he thought maybe it was a tree at first, but it's just so still there. I mean, how tall did he think that thing was?
Well, if this is the same guys that Rob's been dealing with for so long, I mean, I know the guy that we've been coming across in Ortiz Mountains is up to 14 feet tall, up to 1,800 pounds. You know, that's the 19-inch footprint. And this guy's a hoss, man. Fucking hoss. Excuse me.
That's crazy. I mean, just the size. Wow.
Yeah, so you firmly believe that that's a Bigfoot, huh?
Oh, yeah. After looking at everything, I think that it's definitely a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't get any better than that as far as, you know, after Rob broke everything down. That guy actually came out of eastern New Mexico. And we actually we were on the news last June, and I think they actually re-showed a lot of it last night or the night before. And they said that came out of the Sandia Mountains, which just wasn't the case. It actually came from eastern New Mexico. Yeah,
these news organizations usually screw it up.
Well, the first time that I saw the big guy up in the mountains, he was sitting on the other side of the valley, sitting on a rock. And through the binoculars, you could just see him great. He was sitting in a catcher squat for hours. Every once in a while, you look back up, and he's like, switch, you know, one elbow onto this knee, and the next time you look up, he's got the other elbow on the other knee, and you could just see his butt, everything. I mean, when you're looking through the binoculars, but when we put the video camera on it, you just couldn't really make it out. But he sat there for hours in one position, just watching us. You know, nothing better to do.
So he was fully aware of you guys being there.
Oh yeah, definitely, because I think it was that same night that he was in our camp. And I had looked up, because usually, I mean, we hike through the mountains in complete dark. We don't ever use lights. You know, we're just being stealthy. Not that we're trying to hide from them, but, you know, just trying to be stealthy.
Yeah.
And a lot of the cool stuff that when you get into all this and you want to go see the really cool stuff, you got to kind of go in places that maybe they wouldn't want you to be. So we're not trying to, you know, be flashy out there.
Yeah,
but
so this is an area you guys frequent, then. It's a spot you guys go back to often?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's right in our backyard.
Okay. And do you think you think being in their backyard, do you believe they're hostile at all, or they more just inquisitive?
You know, I really don't think that they are hostile. We've been around them enough. I know that the times that they do come around, I almost get this feeling of being really scared, you know. I get the chills that run up my body.
Yeah.
But after a few minutes, honestly, I feel a very peaceful feeling. I think maybe they've gotten to know us and know that we're not out there trying to, you know, bother them or hurt them or destroy their environment, you know. So I think that we've kind of gotten to know them. Because these guys come right up to Rob's house, you know, and whistle and hoop. And I think we've kind of developed a little bit of a relationship with them. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for, is that, because we don't go out there with guns or anything like that. You know, we got a knife on our side, but some bear spray. But we try to keep a peace, you know, leave them gifts If they can pick up on our intentions, we want them to know that we're there just to come hang out, you know, get to know them. I'd love to be able to make friends with these guys and actually gain that trust.
Yeah, that would be sweet. How often do you guys go out?
And normally we try to get out at least once a month, you know, if not a couple times a month. But lately, like, so we've just been tied up with so many other things that – we haven't really been able to get out a whole lot. I mean, luckily Rob lives right there. Some of the crew lives right there, so they get out and do recordings and go put up cams and leave them there for a month or two and then go back and grab them and check them out. Rob actually recently was able to acquire a really nice picture of Bigfoot, but you know, I'll let him talk about that a little more. We'll definitely hopefully see that at the conference.
Excellent. I can't wait to see that. Sounds like you guys got some interesting stuff that'll be released in the near future. Do you guys believe in habituation then, since you say you leave gifts and stuff and you frequent an area? Is that a word you like to use, or?
Man, we share. That's mm-hmm. kind of, I mean, we don't necessarily put a term on it.
Okay.
Us personally, anyways.
Yeah.
My own personal view on that is that I believe that they are an intelligent group of beings that do have a language and can communicate by, you know, just like in the days of old where, you know, they traded. They did, you know, trade. And nowadays it's, you know, trinkets, small little things, you know, little rocks and, you know, twig people. And are you familiar with that Sasquatch Canada?
Yeah.
With all the vocalizations, and he has a gifting tree and all that?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
My personal opinion on that is, I don't know. I want to say that he hasn't
really... It's too much.
It's too much, yeah. I don't know. I find it to be hard to believe that, you know, he hasn't really shown enough evidence to me.
Yeah, I mean, when you're claiming to play tic-tac-toe with him and...
Right.
That's when it's too much for me. And I don't know, there's something about, I swear, I listened to a couple of those videos and the rain track, I call it a track, sounded exactly the same. I mean, I don't know, I'm with you. I need to see more evidence because audio is easier to hoax than video.
Right. Well, I'd love to find out for sure, you know, because if it is by chance, you know, the real deal, then that's some really, really great evidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do we know who this guy is yet?
You don't know until we really find out from that person if he's willing to put forth all the evidence he does really have, you know?
Oh, Sasquatch Ontario, right? Mike Patterson, is that what he goes by?
I believe
I know every time I see one, I'm just like, God, I want to go out there and do some research to figure out who this guy is, but I never do.
Yeah, Stacy Brown offered to bring all his equipment up there, and, you know, he got turned down, so.
Like I said, everybody wants that $1 million paycheck for themselves, you know?
Oh, there is two different people, too, as well, isn't there? There's a Sasquatch.
Yeah, there's a couple of Sasquatch Canada and then Mike Patterson.
Yeah, Mike Patterson's the one that has a pretty big following, though, and has those weird vocalizations where it's always raining and he's always in the tent or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
he's definitely
yeah,
gained a following. I mean, people are hungry right now. I mean, the Patterson film's almost 50 years old, and people want to believe. They want to latch onto something. So when someone presents something, it's... Yeah, they seem to get a lot of followers pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. All the elders around the world, whether it's the Aboriginal elders or the Hopi elders, I mean, they all are saying that now is the time. I mean, they're ready to step up. They're taking people under their wings. They're ready for this information to come about and for everything to be put into place. I think that we're all so displaced, and we're, you know, there's a big polarization that's going on, and we all see the world a little bit different. And I think that whether it's Bigfoot or what, just our real history, to understand where we came from and who we are and you know, maybe what we're really here to do and what we're capable of doing. It's so possible for us to be living in a different world right now. This American dream, this dream that we're all creating around is insane. I have no doubt that at one point, man and Bigfoot, you know, lived together in some way or another. And it's time for that again. We gotta start
nice.
Taking care
like
of
that.
Together. You know?
Like that, the reuniting. Do you think Bigfoots are human or are a variation of human?
I'm actually leaning more to the way that to the fact that maybe they were here before us. And
I'm agreeing with that. And that's Jock. Would you agree that because you know if this is the case that the Sasquatch is from does have a common ancestor with us? Which is, gives off the human, you know, genome, they're always going to use the fact that they do a DNA test and it comes up with a human genome that is contaminated.
Right.
And I believe that man's been here up to 500 million years. You know, I really don't think that we, and I hate to even use words to think, because really I believe that we were genetically created to be on this planet. Man's already been off planet. We've already inhabited other planets. We've done all this stuff before. We've had this level of technology before on this planet. And, you know, maybe we were created in their image, you know. We didn't evolve from ape, you know. People need to get off of this. Darwinism is just a load of crock. And I hear the same arguments all the time, and I have for a long time. And I've been surrounded by people who've worked in government facilities doing all the same kind of stuff. And there's a lot of reasons to keep up these lies. I mean, there's a lot of profit being made in many different areas. And the moment that people understand their full potential, the moment that man understands where we came from in the truth and free energy and all these different things, our perspective of the world changes dramatically. You know, it's just like that moment, you know, I saw Bigfoot. Man, I'm forever changed. There's no going back, you know. And the moment that you've seen UFOs and you've witnessed, you know, biblical stuff that people still to this day look for in the Middle East, right here in the southwest of America, of the North American continent, you know, it changes your perception on everything. You know, there's so much biblical stuff that's right here on this continent. You know, there's pyramids all over this continent. There's a lot going on that we don't understand. You know, a lot of what the military is using now, the underground bases, and I mean, these bases were used thousands, 50,000, 100,000 years ago. They're nothing that they're creating. We reoccupied all these things. You know, we rediscovered these things. All this knowledge used to be common knowledge, and it's been forgotten. It's been, you know, it's just been left out of our information. You go into the Smithsonian and you go into the Vatican, and they have so much of these findings and artifacts that just change all the history books. And, of course, you know, if you've ever gone to college, and you know that the books is a big profit industry, man. I mean, everybody's got to buy a new math book every year, a new history book, but some of this stuff never changes. You know, why do we have to buy a new book? You know, they put something new in it. Nah, it's just not the case. You know, there's explorers all over the planet that have been finding petrified human bones forever, have been finding giant bones forever. You know, it's nothing new. It's not on the mainstream media.
I do find the some of these bones, you know, the giant bones that have been discovered, I find those fascinating because enough evidence out there, I think, that even though some of them are probably tucked away in the Smithsonian or not even cataloged, I think there's enough evidence to show that there has been giant bones found. Have you guys heard of any discoveries in New Mexico of giant bones being discovered?
Oh, yeah. Rob's discovered many.
Oh, really?
Many. And these are always backdoor operation jobs, so, you know, things get taken. Nobody ever sees them. And this happens all over the place. I mean, all the people that we were working with, you know, in Egypt, on all the finds that Rob found in Egypt. I mean, you talk to the locals of these areas. You go down to Abydos and you talk to the locals, they'll tell you. U.S. military's there all the time ripping up monumentation and pulling UFOs out of the ground, throwing them on a flatbed and driving them out. You know, nobody ever hears of these things. You know, back in the early 90s, whenever the first Bush went into southern Iraq, everybody always wondered, why didn't they take Baghdad? You know, well, there's a lot of ancient history right there in southern Baghdad. That's all, I mean, southern Iraq, that's all they wanted. That's why we go into Afghanistan. That's why we go into Libya. That's why we go into all these places. There's a lot more going on, you know, oil and gold and all that stuff is, that's just perks. I mean, they'll sell us water, they'll sell oil, that's perks, man. But the ancient technology that they find in these places nobody ever hears about is amazing. I mean, there's a UFO buried right here in New Mexico, and government knows about it. Not everybody else, though.
Speaking of UFOs, someone just sent me a question. Have you guys heard of Boyd Bushman?
No.
Okay.
Does not ring a bell.
I guess he was some sort of engineer who worked for Lockheed Martin. Had something to do with some sort of a, I think there's some UFO or some sort of levitation or things tied in with him here. I was just looking up real quick.
Joshua, does Rob have in his possession these bones, or is it just something he's left in place, or?
Does he have what in his possession?
He said he's discovered giant bones. I'm just wondering, is it something he's collected or just left where he's found it?
No. All these things like that were taken or they were left where they were found.
Okay.
There's a lot of, you know, I mean, Rob's discovered all the entrances to the Hopi underground cities. Like I said, there's still college professors that are trying to figure this stuff out. Rob's already been down in there taking pictures. You know, climb down a rope right down into him.
Well, I haven't really. Has he released any of this information, or not so much released, but any evidence of this sort of thing to the general public, or is it something he kind of just hangs on to?
No, actually, all of this stuff was online. I mean, if I talk about anything, it's because it's already been online.
Okay.
Of course, like I said, the website got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's all, like I said, slowly getting back up there. We're trying to open up all the different venues, bringing all the people together so that we can bring all this information together. One thing that I notice in just this paranormal world, whether it's UFOs or Bigfoot or whatever, is that a lot of people have a lot of great pieces of information. Now, it's everything in between that they're either filling in with their, you know, kind of their theory, their opinion, or just a flat-out lie. And, it happens constantly, and there's a lot of information that Rob has in many different areas of information that really fill in a lot of these gaps, and that's why we've been trying to communicate with everybody. So everybody that you've seen on Ancient Aliens or any of these shows, I mean, we've pretty much been in communication with them and are trying to work closely with them because we can all, you know, utilize, like I said, each other's followings. And bring this information to light. So,
you guys gave any positive feedback from any of these groups or people that you've been in contact with?
Yeah, some of them. Some of them, we give them a piece of information and never hear from them again. I've even seen people's stories change listening to their radio shows or their new books that come out, and their information actually changes where it's more on the level that we were trying to talk to them about. But there's definitely some that have actually come out to New Mexico and met us and, you know, seen all the equipment, and we've had lots of meetings with a lot of great people. So, you know, everybody's having the same hard time, you know, with the economy, and just there's a lot of people sitting on the edge of the fence that do believe this stuff, but their jobs are on the line. I mean, not everybody can just stand up and talk about what they know. And once you really get out there, I've been traveling the country since I got out of high school. You know, I'm 30 now. And when you really get out there in new places around people you don't know and you start talking to people and you find out, you meet a lot of interesting people that have a lot of information that just aren't on the internet, don't want to talk about it, feel like their life's in danger, their career. You know, every day I've met way too many. There's some amazing people out there that nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough to dedicate time and resources to something like this as well. I think that's why we really do need to work together, because most of us have jobs and things, and this is something we want to do on the side. And And the more people, the better. I like the small group idea, but it's still nice to collaborate and network.
Oh, yeah, reach out, man. Use each other's resources. Everybody's got connections. It's all about who you know, no matter what you're doing. You know, if you want to get your foot in the door, you got to put action to it. You got to go stick your foot in that door. You know, you can't just send off an email and wait. You can't go put in an application to a job and just wait for them to call you. I mean, it's probably ain't going to happen. You know, you got to go make it happen. And
they wrote me on just shortly a little while ago when I got lost the call of Stephanie, the Facebook page, and she gave me the number to call. Are you familiar with her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I posted on her where she wrote me on the comments, says, Jesus Junior, so sorry we dropped you from the show, you know? I posted on her comments the video of the Bigfoot footage and the other pictures from that same area of Bigfoot and some the footprints that we found.
Oh, awesome. I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, she makes the banners for the blog and for the Facebook page for us. She's our number one fan.
Yeah. Awesome. She's a big part of Monster X Radio, that's for sure.
Yeah,
we really appreciate her.
Spread the word,
Very cool.
Yeah, Shane, it's been really cool having you in the group now for quite a while and always giving the good support. And we've actually met a lot of great people just, you know, through the Bigfoot community that they have a lot of really nice things to say and have a lot of great information to offer. And it's been really cool. It's amazing that one little social network can do so many things.
It's unbelievable sometimes. But, through this social network, I discovered you guys and been following you guys a long time and was a fan of a lot of the evidence put forth with you guys' discoveries. And I really liked how you guys went about your business going out and collecting. I mean, when you guys collect evidence, you collect evidence and you really go into detail. I mean, above and beyond what even some of your most experienced Bigfooters do, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, Rob made a really good point on that one. And it's, you know, even when you watch the, you know, Finding Bigfoot or any of these shows on TV, it's like everybody's looking at the ground. You know, a lot of the evidence that we collect is 8 feet, 10 feet above the ground. You know, you got to really think outside of the box and put yourself in their position, you know, as far as finding food and how they do it. And, you know, they don't just, I mean, they use these tools, the tools that Jesus was talking about, which I always kind of forget about for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But the tools are amazing, the way they crush up these bones to get the bone marrow and a lot of people don't realize how much food is really in the forest. You know, when you go learn how to survive, you learn that you can stay full, you know, out in the wilderness and in the desert. It doesn't matter where you're at. So you know, a lot of folks want to say that, you know, there's not a lot of food out there. What, you know, no, there's a lot of food. You just know you're not aware of it. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. You know, I've done some remote backpacking myself quite a few times you know, lived off the land, you know, taking just a little bit of water to start out with and then go from there, a little bit of food, and then live off the land. So I'm pretty well experienced in that sort of thing. With the tools, are you talking like rock tools then mainly, or even the use of like sticks and stuff like that?
All the above, but, I mean, the rock tools, they're just the same as you would find with all the Native American tribes, but, you know, bigger, for a bigger hand. Same thing. They flake and chip away stone, and same ideas. You know, you can tell when something's kind of made more for a right hand or for a left hand. And yeah, Rob's got so many tools. He's got so much stuff that I still have not seen. I mean, to go digging through this guy's archives is like walking into the Library of Alexandria. It's amazing. It's intense.
You know, I was curious too. Have you guys ever had? You know, I've had rocks thrown at me before. Have you guys ever experienced like Bigfoot throwing rocks at you or sticks? Or have you guys experienced a lot of tree knocking or anything like that?
I myself I've never heard any tree knocking. You know, I've heard all the different kind of roars and howls and hoops and whoops and whistling, but I've not really noticed any. I mean, I've heard loud cracks, you know, I've heard stick breaks, I've heard rocks falling 20 feet away from us behind a boulder, but I haven't personally. I think that the last time I was up there, I got tapped on the head while I was sleeping. Because we never really take tents or anything. We just, you know, sleeping bags on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cold, and I had a jacket over my head inside one of the mummy bags. And I woke up in the middle of the night around 3, 4 a.m., and being tapped on the head. I mean, it really felt like a big dude had just come over and was tapping me on the head. And I freaked out. I, like, opened up, tried to unzip my sleeping bag, and it got stuck, you know, damn zippers. So I just laid there, and I was listening to the footsteps, and the next morning I found out Rob was up awake listening to the same footsteps. And it was crazy because the same spot I was sleeping that time, the very first time that we ever went out, when I first saw the Bigfoot, I woke up in that exact same spot one night with these crazy dreams, like, and it was this crazy moon, and it was kind of ironic it happened in the exact same spot.
What year was your sighting?
That would have been 2011, I believe, was when I first started going out doing this. And I've seen Sasquatch 3 times, and definitely heard and smelt them. I mean, we've been in some of these deep canyons, and we've taken a lot of the same canyons multiple times, so, you know, you kind of get a good idea of where you're at and what it looks like. And this last time we went out, there was huge trees completely uprooted covering our trails. I mean, we were having, and I've got bad gout, and so it was a lot tougher. I almost twisted my ankle one time just trying to get over these giant trees that they had put in our way. But one of those times, just a dramatic stench. I mean, I've actually smelled a dead body, and it was pretty dang close.
Yeah,
they're pretty stinky, for sure. I had my most recent sighting was in the Lacuchacay Mountains in the Navajo Reservation area, also in northern New Mexico, with Brenda. We were up there in the team, and unfortunately, at the time, I had a torn ligament in my calf. So I had to stick behind in the truck while they all went out, you know, hunting. And it was a real bright night. Yes, you could see, you know, I had all the lights. I was just sitting in my truck, just sitting there listening. And, I see what looks like a giant, about, you know, 8.5 foot tall, very bulky man, which, of course, I believe was Bigfoot, run across the path in front of me where my truck was parked, about maybe 100 feet at most. And as soon as that happened, one of our guys radioed in. He said that they're on their way back. They're right almost up to me, but they just heard a big crack of a branch breaking, you know, in the exact direction that I saw it run across the trail. And, we all, you know, got out, and the stench was just, you know, it was like encircling us. In this one area that we were at, it would change where the smell was coming from. And, yeah, we in that area we found lots of tree, you know, branches hanging, you know, and stuck in, tucked in different ways. And it was a really good sight. That's where Brenda recorded her audio. She got audio also of some whoops up there. And while we were doing the San Juan River where we casted the juvenile prints, while we were doing that, I did a call, and it responded right across the river behind, you know, the embankment where there's a bunch of real thick forest. It knocked back. It would have sounded more like a sort of tree knocking, but with rocks, you know. And it repeated it. I did another call the same way, and it repeated again. It repeated again the knocking, you know, two knocks, clack, clack. And yeah, there's a whole bunch of a little family there, and there's little ones. I just posted the footprints that we got from that incident, and yeah, I've heard all kinds of calls as well. While I was out there with Josh, you know, we had all sorts of stuff going on, you know, and
yeah.
The evidence is just is amazing.
Sounds amazing. I know there's a lot of evidence out there. I have my own evidence. You know, I know Sasquatch to exist. So, was that your only sighting, Jesus, or did you have another one?
Well, that was my only visual sighting. I was actually seeing them. You know, I've had numerous times where they've been around. The reason I don't call this one a sighting is only because it was so dark. But where I live at the foot of the mountain range. But there's a bunch of canyons that, you know, have trees and everything growing inside them. And every once in a while, you know, they flood. But my theory is that these the Sasquatch travel through these at night and they come out and that we have all the farms there with all the animals and, you know, crops and all that stuff. And at nighttime they come out, they send out, you know, like the teenagers to come and, you know, get stuff, you know, food and go back up. It's only about a good 4 mile trek. 4 miles is nothing, you know, to one of those guys, you know.
Yeah.
And one night, me and my friend, he's a fellow researcher of mine, Michael Carrillo. We were out on my property. It's 5 acres. And we're out there in the middle of the night, and something bipedal walks up to us. It's pitch black, no moon. You know, you can see the stars really well, but you can't see 10 feet in front of you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And something walks up onto the gravel, the gravel road right by my property, and it starts walking back and forth on the road about, I'd say, at most 30 feet in front of us. And it started walking, just pacing back and forth. It was bipedal without question, because we could hear ourselves when we're walking, you know, on this gravel. And it starts building up speed, like it's building up, trying to get all steamed up, you know, like, all right, I'm going to do something. And I started getting freaked out, and I told him, hey, man, let's squat down, grab some rocks, and throw some rocks, and maybe we'll scare whatever the heck this thing is, because I'm getting this really, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up, and it was just a real intense, you know, feeling I was getting from this thing, and it seemed really like it had a real bad attitude. So we grabbed some rocks and we threw them and didn't hit anything. It's still pacing back and forth. And I grabbed another rock and I closed my eyes, used my mind's eye, and listened for its, you know, walk, you know, while it walked across the gravel, threw a rock as hard as I could, and I hit it, and it screamed, you know, let out just horrible, the most horrible scream I've ever heard. It was like, wow, like, holy crap. So we bolted towards my house. And we're running, like, just top speed, you know, of course, you know, weigh over 350 pounds, so the top speed may not be that fast, but whatever it was rang alongside us to the just to our left. We could see it was something large and dark, and it was running, pacing us. We ran up the back of the deck, and it proceeded to tackle the deck. It ran up on one side of it and tackled it, ran out and shook the whole deck, and ran on the other side, tackled again. And by then, I was able to get the back door open and hauled butt inside and locked that door. You know?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And that's on your property.
Yeah, that was on my property. Yeah.
Down in Tularosa?
Yeah, in Tularosa. Right outside of Tularosa. I live like two miles south of north of Tularosa, where all the hay farms are, and we have the big stables for the horses for the racetracks.
Nice.
So speaking of, you know, because you said it was like pitch black, what are you guys' thoughts on their night vision? You know, obviously it's got to be superior and amazing.
Oh, I definitely think that they have the capability of seeing it at night would, you know, just really, really, really well, because the way they're able to maneuver in the pitch dark and not knock over things, and are and able to be stealthy and know where to step without making a crunchy sound. Yeah, you've got to be able to see very well in the dark.
Oh yeah, no, I just talked to I just did a witness encounter the other day, and they had mentioned the bipedal footsteps approaching their campsite, and they heard it coming up, and it clanked some rocks together, and they heard a wood knock off in the distance. But what surprised them was not the encroachment of it, which was loud and like I said, bipedal and heavy. It was that when it left, they never heard anything. It was just like it came upon their camp, was like, whoa, and then backtracked, but warned the others in the area possibly that, they, you know, it came upon something, you know.
Yeah, I believe there's a order of Sasquatch Ninja out there.
Yeah, ninjas.
Molly, those, they are slick, you know.
The League of Shadows.
Every once in a while, they slip up every once in a while, and they're like when I was out there with the KX and just crashing into everything, but they're pretty stealthy.
Yeah, there ain't no being quiet when you're going through thick wilderness with Jesus.
Yeah, they heard me from three counties away, man.
Man, I'm like weaving and sidestepping through sticks, and Jesus is like push, push, breaking through everything.
I was one with my inner Sasquatch. Yep.
Yeah, he's the bear of the group.
Right. What I find very interesting that's not often talked about too often, it is talked about, but is that they're quadrupedal as well. They are, their proportions allow them, you know, their arm ratio to their leg ratio allows them to run on all fours. And I have a theory, and I don't discount all these sightings of werewolves and skinwalkers, but I think that there's a large amount of those sightings that are done that are really Bigfoot sightings. Like, you know, if you have somebody that only believes in airplanes and don't believe in UFOs, everything that's in the sky that blinks is an airplane, you know, versus the person that only believes in UFOs and does, you know, vice versa. Same thing with Bigfoots. If a person doesn't believe in Bigfoots and they don't think they exist and they see this big hairy creature that runs on all fours and howls, and it's very huge, you know, and hairy, covered in fur, and looks like a person, they don't think, hey, that's a Bigfoot. They're probably thinking, man, that's a werewolf. What the heck, you know? And report, because a lot of the sightings of the skinwalkers and werewolf stuff, they're often of these large, you know, creatures that are 7 feet tall, and they're staring through windows inside houses. You know,
yeah.
They're chilling animals. And, you know, they hear them howling. These are all things that Sasquatch do, you know. And when if you see, you know, a big giant, you know, hairy beast running on all fours, going woo woo, you know, you don't think, you know, hey, that's a Sasquatch, you know. If you don't know and study, you know, the actual phenomenon of what all Sasquatch are, you know, look like and do.
Yeah,
true. Well, we're just about out of time here, guys. We're down to our last minute.
Dang it.
And I just want to thank both of you guys for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
we're going to have to have you guys back
again. Yeah, we'll do this again, and we'll bring, you know, Melissa and Rob on and try and get some other guys.
Right.
And go into a little more further detail. And we're actually hoping that maybe we can get one of these radio shows to come do a live show from the conference. So
yeah,
anybody down and willing, you know, let us know.
We'll be talking about it. But, yeah, we're almost out of time here. So, thank you guys, Jesus and Joshua. Really excited about what you guys got going on, and really thankful you guys joined us. And good luck with your upcoming Paranormal and Bigfoot conference.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate
you
having us on, man.
All right, man. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, everyone in the chat room, for joining us. And we'll be back
good night,
next week.
Good
night.
Later.
See ya.